League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everyone ready?
Yeah.
Cool. To episode 16 of the Tottenham Way podcast with me, Tom Hayward, Dan Kilpatrick.
Hello.
The Anton Depp Spurs
but back by popular demand
that's
as
very
well.
True. Sorry, I hadn't actually thought about that before we started recording. I thought, who's a double act? As I was doing that, and I couldn't think, so sorry.
Chaz and Dave.
You can work out between you who's Ant and who's Deck. Sorry, yeah, I should actually say their names. Ollie Lister. Ollie, back for your third episode.
Patrick.
And Jim at Stylish Riot.
Hello.
Which is going to be your surname from now on
okay,
as well.
You that's
are
fine.
You are known as at Stylish, Mr. at Stylish Riot.
Best out on Twitter.
Exactly. You may remember Ollie and Jim from the Red Knapp special that we did, three weeks ago? Yeah, last international break. That's still up there, still on iTunes, still on SoundCloud. If you want to go back and listen to it,
never get old.
It won't.
It won't date.
It's got no timestamp, it's got nothing.
UHT of podcasts.
You can keep us in your cupboard until you open us. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for coming back, guys. How's it going, first of all?
Very, very well.
Might as well check in.
Good.
Dan, how's things since Tuesday?
What happened Tuesday?
Tuesday we did the pod, Dan. That's what we're doing now.
We did it Monday, didn't we?
No, because the game was Monday.
Yeah.
You went on a date on the Monday.
I did,
game. Have we had any developments, Dan?
There was a development.
Because the last that we heard, mystifyingly, she hadn't responded to you.
That's
since
true.
The date.
Well, what I can tell you is that it wasn't Spurs related. She enjoyed the game. She enjoyed the lane. What happened was, I wanted to do a tweet. I wanted to put something on the Tottenham Way Facebook page, and my phone was out of battery, so I logged into Facebook on her phone. Rookie, didn't log out, which was particularly rookie. Messaged my mates about the date, and that's all you need to know, really.
That is outstanding.
So she was getting a kind of live updates of this chat, but she's still speaking to me. It wasn't anything too bad, but I think she was slightly kind of freaked out, so hence the delay in getting back to me.
Well, it's not how I met your mother, but it is a good story nonetheless.
I feel like we need like a single life hashtag on the pod now or something.
Single life. Well, presumably if you'd have been a little bit upset by that, you would have been slightly cheered by Sunday's result. Well, let's say maybe performance.
Performance
the
more
result.
Than result, I think, yeah.
North London Derby, 1-0. What did you think?
The performance felt like a win and the result felt like a defeat, if that makes sense. It felt like a sort of 1-1 defeat just because we battered them for so long. And it was such a horrible goal to concede because I felt like it was just a slight lapse in concentration. Sun didn't press Ozil, Walker didn't track the run, Lloris made a mistake. And it was just a bit sickening. If we'd have...
For the
right reasons, because we played so well and there were so many positives and I was so pleased with it for like 75 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. But the result was hard to take, which, as many people have said, sort of tells you everything you need to know about this Spurs team now that we're disappointed with the draw.
Jim, you watched it with your Arsenal in-laws, is that correct?
Yeah, stepson, who's a gooner.
How old?
15. But he doesn't really care.
Cocky age,
it annoys me. Like, He didn't watch the second half.
That is like the whole fan base of Arsenal as well, isn't it? Like a cocky 15-year-old.
He didn't...
Is he on Twitter?
No.
Is his name something like Erzurum?
It might be, I don't know. I don't supervise him that close. we watched the first half. He obviously saw that we were far superior. And my three-year-old came in and started shouting in his face, "Come on, you Spurs." And
yes.
He got annoyed.
He went.
So he didn't.
Well, he left.
Well, no, he sort of like went next door. Didn't reappear until about the 65th, 70th minute, just as they fucking equalised.
His fault.
Just like Ozil.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. No, see, yeah. Sorry, go on. No,
yeah, it was all right.
Was it? I can't watch the North London derby with another person.
Yeah, I struggle.
Let alone Arsenal fans, it wouldn't.
I struggle, and the mother-in-law, bless her. She just knows how to push my buttons, as most mother-in-laws do, and knows nothing about football, but was brought up on the Holloway Road, so is an Arsenal fan by default, and just rubs it in my face whenever they beat us, whenever we lose. So yeah, it was nice to.
Yeah.
What about your missus?
She was looking after the baby next door.
She's proper Guna though, isn't she? Or is she more like...
No, she's not proper Guna. She's a Guna by default.
So most of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly the same as most of them, to be perfectly honest. Ollie, overall thoughts?
Brilliant performance, really. I mean, by and large, brilliant. Like, it is galling just to think, oh, what could have been? You were there thinking, it's actually going to happen. You kind of like anticipating it just to... You're counting down the minutes.
Yeah.
You're just begging it. It doesn't even matter. By the 70th minute, I was just like, just clear it, just wherever, boot it as high as you can.
Yeah.
And then obviously we just couldn't keep up with their balls into the box. I mean,
that's what changed it, wasn't it? They clocked on to the fact that we were really struggling with balls in the air, and so every free kick they had, Mertesacker went forward, and every in open play, Giroud was pretty much on the penalty spot, wasn't he?
Forcing them to do that, because you know we outplayed them. You know, Arsenal have got this reputation of being, you know, a team that likes to play around and we completely outplayed them in that respect. We pressed them so well all over the pitch with speed, aggression. They didn't know what hit them. And I think perhaps we tired towards the end, and you know maybe that left them like that opportunity, but you're right, they saw an opportunity in terms of we were struggling with balls into the box, and unfortunately that was our undoing.
Yeah, I mean, aside from that, we are a young side, and we've said that all season, but in particular a young side in a North London derby that is against people like Sanchez and Ozil and Giroud. They've all gone to World Cups and Euros and stuff. They're seasoned Champions League players, and they have been for the best part of a decade. So when you put it all into perspective, I mean, how impressive is it that we went there and not just, you know, look at last season's performance, and it was very early doors in Pochettino's reign, and we went there and we got a goal through Chadli through the high press, but for the rest of the game it was just backs to the walls, and you know, we hardly got out of our own penalty area. But that was impressive in its own way. But how impressive is this as such a young side, as such, you know, that spine is all, you know, it's ridiculous really when you think of it. I think 7 English players were involved yesterday. So how impressive is it? Yeah. Well, when you think of Rose,
Onuma came on as well.
Yeah, Rose, Walker, Dyer,
Mason
Allen,
came on.
Mason, Kane, and
so impressive.
Onuma. Yeah.
Actually, it almost changed my opinion about our youth. That game, because for the whole season and the whole of pre-season as well, I was worried about the lack of experience. Like, I was thinking of the Hansen quote, like, we don't win anything with kids, we need a few more leaders in that team. But actually watching our energy against Arsenal, it was extraordinary. Like, they could not cope with it at all.
Mm.
Like, in the second half, the first 25 minutes of the second half, it was just every time they got the ball, we were just all over them. And every time we won the ball back, we were just surging forward. And it was like Lamella was everywhere, Ali was everywhere, Dyer was everywhere he was supposed to be.
Are you frustrated that we didn't capitalise on that?
Yeah, I'm really frustrated.
Ten-minute spells have been completely gone.
I'm really frustrated. And I think the one area where our inexperience really showed was in the final third. We didn't make the right decision on quite a few occasions where there were half chances. It was like we passed instead of shot, or we shot instead of passed. But I think we seem... I think, honestly, this team that Pochettino's building, I feel like other managers might start looking at it and think, I need to get the average age of the squad down. I need to get younger. Like, Man City and Chelsea, in particular, I can imagine them looking at it and being like, we need more young players. Because teams will not be able to cope with that energy, regardless of how good their players are. Like, we were just swarming all over Arsenal, and it was bloody brilliant.
How much do you guys feel like... do we need that experienced head in, like, you know, Dan was saying about all these youngsters, but you need that one kind of experienced head to be around, and I suppose to a degree that should be Loris, but there's quite a limited amount that you can do from a goal, surely, from playing in goal. I'm not a fan of keeper captains, although Loris is just about the most obvious captain choice that we had, but are we developing leaders? You know, what?
Yeah, of course. I think there's plenty of leaders. You look at players like Dyer, and he is an in-your-face sort of player. You know, I'm pretty sure I saw him mouth in fucking pricks.
He did everything.
He does everything.
Sanchez
thinks everyone's a fucking prick.
He does, and I'm
right.
Like, he is, isn't he? Because, I mean, it could be anyone on that pitch, and Giroud was falling over.
The amount of good pictures of Dyer. Like, there's one where he's just looking disgustedly at Giroud falling over. There's one where he's just Sanchez on the floor and he's got the ball and he's just shouting in his face.
Yeah.
There's one where he's like up right up to Mertesacker. It's just like
it's like
a gallery of his Dyer.
It's the
North
right kind of aggression, though, isn't it? He's not
controlled aggression.
Exactly. He's not antagonising, and he's certainly not running a line. I mean, he'll get booked in games, he will, and he's already been suspended this season, but he's good enough to do the job and piss people off, and that is the sort of player that we've needed for years, you know?
If you look at the Carling Cup final from last year, just look at the way he dealt with Diego Costa. Mm. He's not scared of anyone.
No,
and he's
quite right.
He's
as
one,
well.
One young leader. We've got Harry Kane, who obviously leads from the front. He was vice captain at some point last year, led us out a few times. I know he's almost a forgotten man, but Bentaleb, I thought, was going to become a leader. Look at Mason, the way he flies about. He leads by example. I love Mason. Mason's
he's by no means a starter now as well.
No,
so.
But he that's what I mean. We've got people who are stepping up throughout the squad. If you look, Mason was unlucky. Did brilliantly against Sunderland and got injured.
Yeah.
So he's kind of lost his place by default, really.
Mm.
Ali's 19. Ridiculous.
It was in
his ceiling.
The thing that I wanted to sort of bring up, yeah, it is. And I said it a few weeks ago.
Scary,
isn't Vieira, it? In this very room, I said that it was all Vieira. And it was, and you weren't right to laugh because it is absurd to be talking
about. I don't know if I did laugh.
No, you did, in a way, but no,
you did mug me.
I think you'll find I have the recording here. But you were right to, because it's absurd to talk about these people in those sort of parallels now, because they are so young.
Because they're going to be
bad. But at the same time, you look at it and you think, but he's just bossed a midfield that they call it depleted, but I'm sorry, they had...
They had two starters who weren't fit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And arguably, based on our best team last season, we had two starters that weren't fit.
Yeah.
Because Bentaleb and Chadli were two of our best players.
Absolutely. And Son as well. Son's our peak, you know.
Lamella steps up as well against Villa. Like, that showed great quality. Who would have thought Lamella would be stepping up and taking control of the game and saying...
It was a shame that he went off, wasn't it? I mean, we were talking just before the pod about... It was only a matter of a month and a half, 2 months ago that we were talking about Lamella coming on against Stoke, and arguably people were talking about him losing the two goals on his own, which is of course ridiculous, but his performance was that it was so poor that it was almost easy to just go straight to him and blame him. But now we're looking at it coming off on a North London derby away from home at 1-0 up and going... And then conceding and being like, you know what, it might not have happened if Lamella was at the pitch, which is crazy.
I think Pochettino had a choice. It was like, keep Lamella on, run the risk of going down to 10 men, but have a much better chance of winning that game. Do you see what I mean? Like, I feel like if he'd stayed on, would either have lost him to a red or would have won. He was doing such a job.
Ozil wouldn't have had the space.
Yeah,
he may have got the ball in, but it wouldn't have been as easy for him.
That goal was all about Son not pressing and not being up to speed.
Yeah.
Lamella would have been on Ozil and he wouldn't have been able to get that ball in the box as quickly.
Fine line, isn't it?
It is a fine line, but also he was still going in for slide tackles on a bucket. So it's like, as you said last week, he's got a red coming.
Yeah.
He's got a lesson coming. Yeah. And I did not want it to be in the North London derby.
No, that's fair. So, that's a fair
but he's now suspended for West Ham anyway, by the way.
But would that have done us, as good as he's playing, has that done us a favour, Ollie? Because Son is coming back to fitness. We've got 2 weeks off for him to get back. It seems as if Pochettino gets sharpness in training, not just in... Because, the amount of players that have stepped in for us this season, because we've had pretty bad injuries, I'd say, in the middle. It was a long time for Dyer to have a consistent midfield partner. So we've got people on the train, obviously working hard on the training ground to get these players up to speed, and then what they do in the game is reflected on that. Is Son coming in for Lamella the break that Lamella needs? Because Dyer had the same thing against Liverpool, didn't he? And he had that game out. And of course it's important, but is it a blessing in disguise, maybe?
Yes and no. I mean, Son has looked rusty. You know, he looked rusty when he came on against Anderlecht, and he was not at the races yesterday. He barely had a touch. He wasn't pressing with the same intensity that Lamella was. Not many people were, to be fair. He was possessed.
Yeah.
But
that video of him afterwards on the bench. just staring ahead unblinkingly for about 30 seconds. Actually possessed.
Yeah, a little bit strange.
But it's like, Son needs time, he needs sharpness, and I can see where you're coming from, but in the form Lamella's in, you wouldn't want him out of your team at the moment.
This might be a
blessing.
He's one of the first names on the team sheet.
I was going to say, this might be one of those things where his absence might be the thing that kind of gets Spurs fans more behind him. There are still some doubters, which is fair enough. He's had 2 years of he's had a horror show, really. But if we miss him badly enough, then some people might be like, well, hold on, even if you don't rate him, he's important to our system. He was good yesterday, but then I've got a list here to say that who was. We've got Alderweireld I thought he was great yesterday. I thought he was really, really impressive. Then Dembele again continuing his form of just completely mugging me off.
I keep bringing that up. As is Vertonghen as well.
Vertonghen was okay yesterday.
He's mugged you up.
Yeah, he probably has, but I would say that he was...
Talking of spiteful people, he was up for it yesterday. Vertonghen was up for a scrap. He would have taken on it.
That's what we need, isn't it? We need bastards, and we've said this a few
horrible
times.
Ones.
And I don't think...
Who is the biggest bastard we've got?
Didn't we have... We had this already. I think it's Lamella.
Dyer and Lamella were mentioned. We forgot to mention Vertonghen.
Yeah, he is a bastard.
You said on Twitter, didn't it?
When up against Torres, he just done it, didn't he? So you scratch my face, you prick.
Yeah.
And he sent off, and he did.
He did. He's clever. But that, again, that's what you need in these big games. You need those people that know... And maybe that's just what we were missing yesterday. We were one ingredient away, and that is maybe just a year of experience.
Yeah.
We were so close, and it was Pochettino all over that performance. And I just think I said it on Twitter last night, but honestly, anyone that's not behind Pochettino now after watching that first half and probably at least half of the second half, he's not the problem, you are.
Well, for me, I don't know what you guys think. I'd be interested to hear your views. But for me, that was a kind of watershed game. Because this season, maybe this is an inbuilt Spurs fan thing, but I felt it's been hard to know just... We've all seen positive signs, but it's been hard to know just how good we are. Because I think the Man City game, you could maybe put down to one of those one-off games. We did it against Chelsea on New Year's Day. The Liverpool draw, good, but it's Liverpool. They just lost to Palace. But this... I didn't know quite what to expect going into this game. I felt like maybe I was worried we were going to get battered. Thought we could win it, and then just the way we played, I feel like it was like a turning point, and starting to really believe in this team.
I agree. After 20 minutes, I felt the easiest I've ever felt, and that's why I know it didn't feel easy. But watching the North London derby, you know, and I took my nappy off, you know. It's the first time
clean or dirty. Yeah.
We've been in that we have been in that position before though, haven't we? And but I agree in that even say under Redknapp the 2-0 up and all that, you always thought, oh, this is just gonna go badly wrong because it's us. But and we're gonna get onto this Spursy thing that we talk about, but it's starting to turn, isn't it?
I think the difference is under, you know, and I don't wanna preempt anything, but under Redknapp, you know, it was about how well we played. Whereas under Pochettino, it's not necessarily about how well we played with the ball, it's about how well we press and how well we agitate the opposition. And then if we play at the same time as continuing this ferocious, you know, pressing game, we have a blinder.
Mm.
And I think we saw the, not all of it, because we didn't play brilliantly in the final third, as we discussed, but we were so intent and so purposeful in how we were going to get about them, not let them rest, force them back, that we make the chances. And yeah. I think you can not have a bit of form and still succeed in this sort of style. But under Redknapp, if you don't click, then it kind of went, yeah. It can go
weaker.
Yeah.
I love this team. And it's one of my favourite teams that we've had in... it is my favourite team we've had in my Spurs supporting life. But I won't... As encouraged as I was by yesterday's game, for me, I want to see what we do when we go away to Chelsea and when we go away to City.
Mm. That's fair.
Because we need to do it on a consistent basis. Once we start performing away to those sides that we haven't been in recent years in Chelsea for the last 2 decades, then I'll say that we've definitely turned that corner.
It's a shame we haven't got United away coming up now.
Yeah.
Or soon, because I still think we were stuck in that, we're beaten before we've gone out, and we are starting to turn that. And I think we even started to turn it last year, bar a couple of, obviously, we got trounced at United and City.
But as to how good we are, this team... This year, if we'd won yesterday, it might be quite bold, but we were in a title race, really. The league is so wide open that whether it's a poor league or not,
I don't care.
I don't give a fuck.
I would win.
Harry Sherlock said this last week, and you laughed at him. Have you changed your mind since then? Are you going with it now?
You just said it's the watershed performance.
I know, I'm wondering if you've changed your mind.
No, what I was saying is that I don't care, I'd win a poor league. I wouldn't give a shit. Everyone else can draw every single game and we can get 55 points and win the league. I couldn't give a shit.
I think there's still 5 teams that... Well, it's going to be either City or Arsenal, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But there's not a big gap between those two and United and us. And Liverpool maybe just below us, and then Chelsea again relegated. So
Do you think then it's Pochettino's job to? But let me put it another way. What does Pochettino do now then? Because we're in November and we've had 12 games.
Okay.
12 games. We are exactly where we should be. We're fifth. You know, judging by the wage bill and how much we spend and all of that that comes into things. So that we are. This is where we are. We've gone away to Arsenal. We put in a performance that probably deserved to win, but we didn't. But what does he do? Does he pick apart the negatives of that and just feed it into what he's already got going on the training pitch and just say, well, look, we would win this game if... Or does he just carry on what he's doing and see where it goes? Because you don't... It's young, which means it's fresh and it's got legs and that, but it's potentially fragile. Well, I don't know, is it fragile?
I think it's fragile, isn't it?
Good word.
Yeah.
What was it? I missed that word.
Malleable.
Okay, you
know,
yeah.
They're young, they're learning. They're, you know, not one of our players you could pick out the 11, bar maybe Lloris for Tongan. You go, you know, they're at their peak. They're at their very best they'll ever be. All of our players, like you kind of said, for Valley, haven't got a ceiling yet. They haven't reached it, at least. And that's the great thing about us. We are so young, we don't even know our own potential.
Mm.
And that's still to be unlocked. And I think you just carry on what we're doing because it's working wonders.
Yeah. And I think, to answer your question, I don't think... What's great about Pochettino is he's not someone that's going to react to a single performance. I don't think he reacts to huge wins or bad defeats or encouraging draws. He's all about long-term projects. Mm. So he's going to keep doing what we're doing. And at the moment, that's working for us.
He's making us worry enough with Tottenham again.
Oh, yeah.
I hate to be so romantic, but with Tottenham he's right making me fall in love with Tottenham more than probably any manager in the last.
I mean, I'm absolutely gutted about the international break.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
I'm always gutted about it.
I'm always gutted, but... Especially now West Ham just lost a couple of players. I just want to play them so badly next week and smash them.
Well, this is it. We're now looking forward to the next game, which, yeah. I'm sorry, didn't happen under AVB and Sheeran. For the large part, it did not happen under there. I really did not look forward to the next AVB game.
Do you think Ollie's got a bit of the AVBs about him?
He's a bit in the suit, yeah.
It's a good reminder.
Reminder, we'll get a picture before we go, we'll get a picture and we'll sweet it out before the end of the night.
So this is like AVB with Scott Parker's hair.
Yeah.
what a hybrid.
It was, yeah.
I'm feeling it.
And the voice of the teacher from The Inbetweeners.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Greg Davies.
Greg Davies.
I'm sorry, Ollie.
Sorry.
Ollie, it's still funny. Right, let's move on. We probably need to, because we could probably talk about this all night, but it was, overall, everything that I got from it was so positive, and everyone was talking about it in such glowing terms. And you know what? We're not in any... Expectation has got to such a point where we don't desperately need to win these games, and so if we come out of it with a really positive performance, you know, with the team that we've got and the average age that we've got in the team, then, I'd say, that's all you can ask, really. And we didn't... Sometimes all you can ask for is just don't do anything stupid, please, Tottenham, which is, I think it's a completely fair ask after like the last 30 years of seeing them. Yeah. I don't think it was even in question, to be honest.
As a final thing, I haven't seen this anywhere, but it would... Actually, Lamella kind of ruins it. I was going to say it would be interesting to know how much that Arsenal team cost. In relation to...
Was it 75 million? Someone said...
Was it 75 million difference?
I'll tell you what would be more interesting, their wage bill.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, take Lamella out. I know this is cheating, but take Lamella out, because 30 million, it's a lot more. But yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
you say everyone out, and then there's a hell of a difference. if we didn't put any blame...
He's very sarcastic, isn't he?
The difference would have been incredible.
But Lamella costs so... I mean, the next most expensive person in that team... Must have been
Ericsson, maybe.
Ericsson at like 16 Loris was like 9 or 10.
Yeah, Ericsson was 8.
Was he?
Was he 8?
No.
Well, look, there you go. So Lamella's at least double.
Yeah. Well, everyone in that. No, actually, it's probably Dembele.
15.
Christ, yeah. Alright, well, chip point. Well, badly made.
We're going to do. Obviously, every week we try and do. We pick a player to sort of pick over and. To discuss, basically. And I think that we haven't mentioned him yet, but both fullbacks were really excellent yesterday. Rose, we've kind of discussed before with regards to Davis, but I want to talk about Kyle Walker, because Kyle Walker technically had a role in the equalising goal. He had a job to do in it, but it was perhaps too much. I mean, I thought Kyle Walker had a really good game yesterday, and I think that he's having a pretty good season as well, and at the moment, touch wood, it's injury free, which has been his biggest problem for at least 3 years. So just want to get your Ollie, how did you think of his performance, and what do you think of his season
I thought he was great. I don't think he was to blame for the goal. I think, you know, he was effectively marking two players at the time. He had to pick one, you have to, and I think Lloris was on his heel, so I don't blame him for the goal. I thought attacking wise he was excellent. There was that point where he received the ball out wide and
dipped Alexis.
That touch. That was brilliant.
And he put a really good ball in as well to turn it off, you know. And when you see that side of him, you think, yes, that's the Kyle Walker you want. Mm. Defensively, he was sound as you like. You know, Sanchez, the only time he touched the ball was when he was returning it towards his own goal and all the goons clapping up. Isn't he brilliant? You know,
he's he was terrible, actually. All the talk of Ozil being anonymous and whatever your viewpoint on that, Sanchez didn't turn up.
Yeah.
He was...
That was largely due to Walker's performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and we say about the goal, if you're going to... A higher ball's put in a box, who are you going to try and win it from? You're going to try and win it from Giroud, not worry about Kieran Gibbs. And I think the goal really came down to Son not pressing, as Dan said, and Some strange goalkeeping by Hugo.
I think Dyer should have dropped in. I think because they're like 3-on-4 looking at it, and I think Dyer just dropped in.
Gibbs on the pitch before he'd scored.
3 minutes.
Really? Second touch. Yeah. So we've just basically not adjusted, have we? We just not caught up to the which is a shame, but it's again it's a lesson to learn, I suppose, isn't it? But to go back to Walker. Dan, are we seeing the same effect on Walker as what Davis gave to Rose? And I know that Davis and Rose has been a bit more competitive this season, and Davis has played quite a few more Premiership games, and there seems to be a genuine duel there. And Trippier's come in and not done particularly well. He hasn't done much in his performances so far, and certainly a dunking. Bournemouth for about 10 minutes.
He got about 10 minutes.
But last season, Walker's competition when he was fit, which admittedly wasn't often, was Yedlin for half a season, who was nowhere near Premiership pace.
Well, it was more Dyer and Chiricheras.
But Dyer, they were stopgaps, weren't they?
Yeah,
and as good as Dyer did there, he was. We can see now he's a central player, isn't he? He's not quite. He's
got a cross on him, isn't he?
He has. But
not the moment.
Are we seeing the same?
I think we are, yeah. A lot of people have been digging out Trippier for his Europa League performances, but it was exactly the same with Davis last year. When he came into the team for the odd games, he didn't look up to speed.
It must be tough as well.
Must be really tough. And yes, Trippier's, I think, 4 years older than Davis was. He's 25. But even so, you don't step up from Burnley to Tottenham and play one-off games and play your best. So I think a lot of it has to do with the competition. A lot of it has to do with the way he's been managed by Pochettino. It's always noticeable that Walker is left out. He's not just on the bench for the Europa League. He's left out of the squad altogether. Mm. So I think every opportunity we've got, Pochettino has to rest Walker. He gives him a proper rest, like sends him home, whatever. You're not travelling to Monaco or Belgium. Because he knows that he's a guy who's had a lot of injuries in the last 18 months and is good management. So we're seeing Walker fit, having a run of games, having a consistent player in front of him in Lamella, and having consistent protection from midfield in Dyer. So I think all those things have sort of helped him, and he stepped up at the same time.
What I think with Walker, and I thought this with ABB when he first came in and Walker was playing, was that he was a perfect player for ABB because he was the width. And it seemed as if it was going to be the same sort of thing with Pochettino because he plays with those inverted wingers. But it's the same with Rose, actually, and Davis when he's played on the left. They're quite deep. They don't tend to get forward that often.
No, because I remember there was loads of articles when ABB came in about how he utilises his wing backs, and they play really far up the field. Pochettino doesn't seem to do that, but
no, that is.
I like the way they utilise at the moment. Rose in particular gives us great width down the left, and it's noticeable when he's not playing that Davis doesn't get forward quite as much. But then Rose's final ball's never been that great anyway. So
I think Davis is a good passer as well.
When Davis gets forward, he tends to do something with the ball. Whereas Rose causes untold issues with his pace and tenacity. And Walker's similar. He's very direct when he goes forward. And we said a minute ago, he caused Sanchez problems.
Well, he forced it back, didn't he? Yeah. Which is not. He doesn't want to do it. Yeah. And I think Sanchez just looked disinterested all game, to be honest. But
Walker really improved defensively, and yes, there was real testament to that. Going back to the very first game of the season, where, Walker conceded the own goal, the reason Walker did is he pushed up too high, really. Ball was over the other side of the pitch, and he's trying to steer it a few yards. We lose the ball in a silly manner, and he's trying to retreat from a further forward position.
Yeah, and then ends up making a mistake.
And I think, hopefully from that he's learned his lesson, and his defensive discipline is clearly so pivotal for how Pochettino wants us to set up. Well, I'm not saying we're a defensive unit, but how we defend in the press and positionally, it is key. And Walker and our fullbacks are so massive to that, because we don't play with your classic winger cover, and often we can be quite narrow, and that natural cover isn't always there. And so you are going to be exposed at times, and so the form and competition in order to, you know, bring these people up to speed is so critical. And
yeah,
he's been getting better and better as each game's gone along.
I think he hasn't had competition for a long time.
People love to dig him out as well.
Yeah, he's a bit. They love to dig him out. He's a scapegoat.
I mean, if you look at the game against Swansea, yeah, they're.
Montero had
a great game. Him and but that Walker dealt with him really well.
It was once that he got round him, and it was the goal.
Yeah,
and that's all it would be based
that's
on.
That's football.
Isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? If defenders came out on top every time, it would be fucking boring because there'd be no goals.
Yeah,
and I thought he had an excellent game then. But people were digging him out on Twitter. People dug him out on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah,
these people are fucking idiots.
The thing that strikes me about Walker is his recovery pace is phenomenal. And people use to dig him out like, oh, he's just all about pace. Brilliant.
He just uses it to get himself out of trouble.
Beckenbauer was all about reading the game, whatever. It doesn't matter what skills you've got to use them. And every time Arsenal tried to go around him, he'd beat them to the ball. He'd use his strength and use his pace and he'd get there first.
He was very, very good.
He was very good. And it's it's telling that I wasn't worried about Sanchez at all. I mean, he didn't have a sniff.
Didn't do anything.
Saw Sanchez was when he was looking like, oh my God, what's happened?
He was on the floor. He was just on his arse for about 89 of the 90 minutes.
Which is where Arsenal were for 75.
It's very true. Yeah, you do. And it's just so easy to hate him as well. No captain's armband fans this week, this season, which I was gutted about, to be perfectly honest.
Pirate cunts, any of them?
No, pirate cunts. No, pirate cunts wasn't around.
Claude got a fair amount of praise, didn't he?
He said that we were good.
Yeah. No, he said we could win the league.
Title contenders.
Yeah, but.
I refused to watch it. I just saw people being like, fair play, Claude.
I like Claude. I feel sorry for Claude.
They wheel him out and they ridicule him.
And I'm telling you,
he's clearly not well.
If Spurs... Yeah, he isn't. No, he's not.
I know.
I'd say Spurs TV or whatever the fuck they want to call themselves. If they want to make... the Tottenham Way TV. No.
When's
coming
soon.
When's that coming? No. Just quickly, this is the last bit on Walker and then we'll move on to the West Ham preview and international break and things like that. What's Walker's ceiling? Because have we seen the best of Walker, or has it just been really badly interrupted by injuries and form? And you know, because
I think he's what we want with Walker is we want consistently good performances. We know that Walker on his day can be one of the best fullbacks in the Premier League. And what the moment I think what Nathaniel Clyne has over him in terms of the England place and the England setup is that since Clyne was consistently brilliant at Southampton last year, he's gone to Liverpool, he's carried that on, he hasn't been injured. What Walker's had is 2 or 3 years of football interrupted by injury and bad poor form, exactly. Yeah. So if he continues in this vein for the rest of the season, I mean, I don't think he's going to get dramatically better as a player, but I think the way he's playing now, all these people who have been digging him out, and that includes the media as well as sort of ordinary fans on Twitter, I think they're going to start to appreciate that he is a top fullback. He just needs. Yeah, he just needs to stay fit and he needs to stay on form.
Yeah.
I think Walker's main issue is that he's not got a lot going on upstairs between the ears. And he does make strange decisions every now and again. And I think that's just something that we have to accept, and it's going to stop him being a truly top world-class fullback. Mm. He's going to be a good or far better than average right back for us, and he's going to do more good to the team than he's going to do bad.
Yeah.
I don't think, as Dan said, I don't think he's going to become a world beater, but he will be
that was seen as his ceiling, wasn't it? It was when he was 21 when he came into the side.
He's 25 now, so he's not. Yeah. He needs to. If he's going to up it, and he needs to cut out the individual errors that we saw a lot last season. We're not seeing many of them this season.
No.
But you, if he does it consistently over the next 2-3 seasons, then yeah, he's going to be a fantastic fullback.
I think, you know, like you said, he's only 25. We've effectively watched him grow up. You know, we've seen his development, and you know, because he made such a positive impact when he came into the team in the first instance. You know, I think our expectations were like, it's bloody Catholic.
Yeah, but it was.
But he's 25, and you know, realistically, he's just about coming into his, you know, peak of his career, really. And you know, knock out the lapses in concentration. You know, occasionally, I think he may have done it on Sunday. The ball rolling under his foot's his favourite one.
Yeah.
You know, knock those out.
Not a gammy foot. Yeah.
And actually, you've got a really bloody good defender there, and he is good. And I don't buy into this that he's at this weak spot or whatever. He has had no competition. He's been an ever present for God knows how long now. Of course, you can have a dip in form. He's been 21 when he first came into the team. He's now 25. He should now be hitting form. He should now be hitting the form of his life. If that's the case, then we're just about to really see what Carl Walker.
He needs to show over the next few seasons, I think.
Yeah. Well, he's had. I think a lot will depend on Poch as well. He's had four managers in the time he's been at one club, which is really rare because one of those managers, it's such as Premiership football, if you're at one club for a long amount, quite a long period of time, and one manager out of four doesn't fancy you, you're gone. And I know Shearer, you know, whatever, but you know, Redknapp and ABB and Poch were long term managers supposedly, and they all liked him, they all had him as first choice, and he fought his way back into the team.
You don't hear any transfer rumours,
you don't, no, absolutely. But yeah, that's almost why I brought it up, because at one time United were interested supposedly when he was under Redknapp, and they were monitoring to such a point where it was going to be 21, 22 odd million something for him, because he was going to be England's next right back for the next 10 years. But injury is, of course, not such a massive part of it, but it's nice to see him back as well. I think we can all be pretty pleased with how he's done this season so far, considering how things have been going for him recently. So we've got an international break coming up. I don't think I could care any less.
Who are we playing?
Spain.
And France.
Don't care, just don't play Kane.
I mean, we should probably mention that Dier's in the squad.
Oh yeah,
quite rightly as well. And yeah, quite rightly. Well, but quite rightly for Dier.
And Hodgson said, I mean, I know this seems obvious, but he was in the under-21 squad at the beginning of the season when after a few games in midfield, and Southgate still played him as centre-half. Mm. Hodgson said he's a defensive midfielder, which... I don't know. I mean, if Hodgson says that, then it's now set in stone.
Yeah.
So that's now fact. if he does play in either games, either Spain or France, then he's something like the 10th England international that Poch has created or provided, whatever, since he's come to England, which is staggering.
And it would have been 12 if he was still manager when... No, and Chambers moved on.
Right, I think they're counted.
I don't think they were.
Well, they're not.
Are you talking about Miguel... Sorry, what's his name? Miguel...
Delaney,
sorry.
Probably, yeah.
Sanchez, I was going with. That's the guy in The Simpsons that Lionel Hutz has an alias for.
Great reference.
Yeah.
And he'll also... Spurs currently have, I think, one more England rep than any other club.
Two more now.
If Dier plays.
Oh, if Dier plays, okay.
And I don't know if that Poch stat includes Rose, because he never made an appearance, did he?
No, he
which
didn't.
Is scandalous.
But
we've got good left backs at England. I don't care about England.
Yeah, no, I don't care, but really, it's just...
as long as you don't play Kane and injure him, Dier...
Or Dier
got to the level... Yeah, Ali as well, but I certainly think Dier and Kane are on the level where if they get injured, it's a catastrophe for us.
I mean, if Ali drops out, we've got Mason Bentaleb to come back. Yeah. Dembele can drop further back.
And Ali needs a rest.
Yeah, I don't think
he's great against.
But if Kane goes,
wishing injury on
Dembele.
I'm not. I'm saying the rest has gone well. But
if Dembele gets injured, they should put a screen around him like they do with horses. right, maybe not.
Yeah, that's yeah.
That didn't work. Who on have we got? Podcast.
We've got
the shoot him in the head. Yeah,
Jim has just put a bolt into Dele Alli's head, which is unfortunate.
Sorry, Dele.
We've got West Ham afterwards as well, haven't we? And Dan, you mentioned it before. They're starting to return to.
Well, they've just lost Payet for 3 months.
Have 3 months?
3 months he's out for.
They said the other day they hoped he would be back.
We know. Couldn't be better.
Was it?
Yeah. Well done, Ross.
Good. Yeah. Well, and they've also. Who else did they lose in that game? Valencia.
Enna Valencia came on and then went off.
So.
He garlied it.
I mean, we'll be quick on this.
The one point I'll make then is that if Carroll plays, we need to sort out the balls into the box thing, because he's not missing those chances that Giroud missed.
No.
He's scoring every single one.
That's so fair,
I don't think Carroll misses headers from like 3 yards.
He also
yards.
Does really good Cruyff turns in his own box though.
Yeah, but I mean, my point is, I think if Bilic does his research and watch that game, and it's glaringly obvious where we're weak, and he'll play Carroll, and we need to just make sure that
how
we deal
is that,
with it.
Though, that you know, we're worried about teams going, they're going to resort to long ball. Like that's where we are. We're not even worried about teams outplaying us.
Are we at home?
Oh,
we're at home, yeah.
West Ham won't outplay us.
I don't. Yeah, I've got. They've had threats before. They've had Carroll for 4 years.
Yeah.
The thing I remember just quickly from Navy B's first season was that he had Sandro Mark Carroll. And when they lumped it forward, they always said that Nolan got onto the end of Carroll balls, so it would be Dawson versus Carroll, and then Nolan would pick up the loose ball. And ABB, brilliantly, I have to say, give to his eternal credit, put Sandro on him, so that whenever Sandro missed a header, which was nearly every single time because he was up against Andy Carroll, Dawson just swept up, and we won that game 3-1. And I just think it's going to be the same sort of thing. It wouldn't surprise me if Dyer marks Carroll for the entire game, we push the fullbacks up and we essentially go 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, however you want to look at it. Wouldn't surprise me. I don't know what you guys think. Are you particularly worried about West Ham at home?
It's going to haunt me. No.
We'll remember this.
I mean, you'd almost rather play them up to Park, though.
Yeah, they've got a very good away record. Yeah. They've beaten Arsenal, City and Liverpool. Now, they're very good at counter-attacking. So I think we sort of need to invite them onto us, really.
Yeah.
I think we'll just have too much of them. I really do. I think all the talk about how great they've been, they've had some shock results. And that's what they've been. They've been shock results. They've not actually played, from what I've seen, amazing football. They've had good patches and games, but we shouldn't be wearing that shit.
I can't have them beating us again.
Wasn't it Hull that went away a few years ago and beat Arsenal away and United and us away, and all this. Like,
so Giovanni free kick.
Yeah, it was.
Where is he?
Great days. Don't care. Right, that's West Ham.
He was quite
previewed.
Old,
that's West Ham previewed. We've talked about ABB and Hull City.
Did anyone hear Phil Brown on TalkSport?
No.
I was listening to it on the way here, and he was this. Just going back to the Arsenal game, he was talking, reviewing the Arsenal game, and he was basically waxing lyrical about us, saying that 20 years ago, he was working at Arsenal when Wenger came in, and said how Wenger changed the mentality of that club and changed that club. And a few weeks ago, him and the Southend squad trained with Spurs at Hotspur Way, and he said it's very reminiscent of that time, and he thinks that now is the time that we are going to step up and basically
rule the world.
Yeah,
and if Phil Brown says it,
then it's
Giovanni fact reminded me Phil Brown.
No, yeah. He's interesting because it's suddenly everyone has started to wake
but
up
he was
and
so,
be very pro.
He was so so impressed with Pochettino. Yeah. He was waxing lyrical about him.
Should be. He's great. He's fucking great.
Again, it was like the Arsenal game. I feel like that hit home as well when he went to applaud the fans and the reaction he got. Like you said, if you're not behind him, it's you're the problem.
Your problem. Richie Revel. apart from yesterday and when you lost your virginities, what's the most disappointing result you can remember? I'm going to put this out there: 3-3 at Chelsea in the cup. We're 3-1 up.
I remember that game.
Mind is that City game in the FA Cup when we're 2-0 up at
Arsenal. 3-0 up at 10 men. City went down to 10 men. Yeah, good shout.
The most disappointing.
I mean, there's a catalogue.
I've got many in my head.
Basically, every 1-0 defeat under Redknapp against a team who was 17th, who we should have beaten, which seemed to happen about 3 or 4 times this season under Redknapp.
That's fair.
One that sticks out for me is when I was a lot younger and went to Chelsea at home and we lost 6-1.
Oh, Torre-André Flo, yeah.
Yeah. That one was bad.
Christian Gross?
I can't remember.
I think Sherwood was involved
in the middle. Yeah. And the other one that sticks out is Dean Richards' debut. 3-0 up at half time to Man United and we lose 5-3.
He scored, didn't he?
Yeah, he scored the goals.
I remember Beckham's goal. I remember Beckham's goal because I was right behind it and I was like, that, fuck you.
Only game for Ron played for them.
Lasagna Gate. I mean, that was a sickener.
Very good, Dan.
It's more a shitter.
That's very good. That's why you earn the big bucks.
I am available for hire. I do podcasts or write. I'll do anything. I'll do roofing.
Male escort?
I need the cash.
Anything, Jim. Sean, at SeanWalsh_97, what would be the greater achievement? Harry getting us top four in 2010 or Poch potentially, and I have to stress that he did stress potentially, getting us there this season? What would you think? 2010 breed or this?
Oh, this.
It's got to be, isn't it?
Yeah, because I don't mean it by no names, but we don't have the superstars that we had in that team. It is a team of upstarts.
And they're all Spurs as well. That's why I fucking love this team. They're all Spurs.
It is. And they were all fucking pissed off to not come away last night. They all walked off, fucked off. And that's what I want. I demand that from every player that comes through and wears Tottenham white. Be pissed off if you come away without winning a game. But especially something like that.
Did they smash up the change room? And stuff as well. I hope they smash it.
I don't know. I don't really care. I mean, they're just, it's one-upmanship, isn't it? Like, they're talking about it being this disgrace because...
No, I mean the players. I hope the players smash
it. Oh, right. I thought they did it with his face, probably. He's brought it with, oh, fuck this, boom! I just headbutted an imaginary urine.
We're doing a lot of mime. Like,
we are, yeah. Maybe we should do a webcast.
Spurred on TV.
Yeah. No. Did you guys answer that? Harry or this?
This, without a doubt.
This, easily. This, without a million times this.
Cool. Just what, Ollie, what you said links in with the next question, actually. Spurs for life at LouJane882. Are we showing that it's better to have several good players in a team rather than one superstar? Because it's been levelled at us for the last few, you know, even last season with Kane. People saying without Kane we'd have been nothing, which, you know, it's arguable. Well, it's arguable because, you know, the amount that he did dig us out of trouble. Yeah. But we had Bale, we had Modric and Bale, we had Van der Vaart, and, you know, all these players do.
It would be better if we had a sort of team like this with a couple of superstars thriving in, I won't lie. But if you're going to choose one or the other team every time, all day, because it's about having that strength and depth and the consistency across the team. You can't rely on one person all the time, as we found out quite a lot.
Yeah.
I think this team has the potential for some superstars. I think Lloris is world class, without a doubt. Dele Alli and Harry Kane are going to be stars for us. Whether they're world class superstars, no one's going to hit Bale heights, are they? But Kane, Dele Alli, possibly.
Got it. Yeah, it's a different position, so it's different.
Different positions, but I think the ceiling that Dyer, Alli, well, certainly those two have. They could be among the best players in the Premier League, I think.
Mm. Eric Dyer's definitely going to be on the FIFA cover next year. Henderson can make it.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of which, Euro 2016, Alli and Dyer on current form, they've got to go, haven't they? They've got. Again, we don't care about England, but
I don't want them to.
You're talking about Wilshere and Henderson, all these players that aren't actually very good
or very.
Well, Wilshere doesn't actually play football.
No, he doesn't. He's an ambassador. He's just a dickhead with a fisherman's hat and a fucking microphone now.
And a cigarette. So,
yeah. What do you think of Wilshere? Injured, dickhead. Tim Gallery at Timbo911. What does the pod think of the fluidity in midfield and attack? Not just the pressing style of Pochettino. So an extension of the pressing style, which was installed quite early. Do you think it's fluid?
I think Ollie should give his hypothesis earlier.
I think that's yet to come. I don't think, attacking-wise, we've hit the heights. I still feel, although we've had big wins against City and Bournemouth, they've largely come from our pressing game. And that's the great thing about it, because I don't think we've even reached the potential this season. If we start actually moving it more fluidly and, you know, being more creative, fucking hell.
Scary.
It could be amazing. It could really be amazing.
Dan?
That was miles away there. So I was just thinking about our team.
Thinking of fluidity.
What was the question?
Do you want us to come back? So we'll move on. Yeah. Dan, don't worry.
I agree with Ollie, everything he said.
I think this team isn't... this team isn't as fluid as the Red Knack team, which was liquid football. But that team moved the ball so quickly at times between Modric, Van der Vaart, Bale, etc. We don't have that. Lamella and Eriksen have the potential to do that, and we've still got a few gears to go. This team, Poch is building this team block by block, and he started by dismantling the squad. Look at who's gone: Adebayor, Capu, Paulinho. We all know their names.
Yeah.
And we've now got a solid base, the second best defence in the Premier League. It will come. We're hard to beat. We're hard to beat. Yeah. We're 11 games unbeaten. 6 of those have been draws, but I'm not complaining, because we're hard to beat. Those draws will turn into wins.
The more you look at it, the less a draw away at Leicester doesn't look like a bad result. drawing away at Arsenal isn't a bad result for us at any stage. No. I know the performance and whatever, but it's not a bad result at all. Drawing at home to Everton when we had, you know, there's so many injury problems and things like that. It's just not the same. It's, you can look at it in stats, or you can look at it as it actually is. 11 games unbeaten is great, but
it's what Pochettino's tried to do from the. It was noticeable in his first summer. He didn't sign an attacking player, I think.
No, yeah. Right.
So he's always wanted to build from the back, and it didn't quite fall into place last year because he put his faith in Kabul and he put his faith in Capu, and he did make some mistakes and kind of trust the wrong players at the very start. But he's always wanted to build from the back, I think, and now that foundation's in place, I agree with these guys. I've just looked at the question, by the way. I agree with these guys. It's going to come. I think, Ollie, you were saying on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, I think it was you, that Lamella's, it still hasn't quite had that performance yet. Was it like?
Yeah.
He was brilliant against City, but I think he's going to absolutely smash someone soon.
Yeah, I think
he's going to score 2 or 3 against someone really good.
His ceiling is massive.
Yeah.
I want to see more Koscielny on his arse.
Yeah, run was just quality.
His confidence is sky high, but with a slightly more confident player.
He needs to get his shooting confidence up, basically, just to do what he did at Roma, cut inside and just find the bottom corner.
Yeah, or just learn how to shoot from the different angles that he's getting now.
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be very typical, didn't it?
You're right, but to conclude, I'm getting around the applause.
that was such a good point. They're applauding your entrance to the pod. Thanks for joining in. We'll do a last question. Sorry to David at Flaming Mo and Phil at Single Walk Sides, we can't do it this week. Cooper's Kisses at Ari Otspur. Not Harry Hotspur, but Ari Otspur. With Lamella suspended... Oh, we've done this. Bollocks, sorry. With Lamella suspended, will some be able to fill in capably on the right? Let's just do it quickly. I mean, it's a nice way to finish it, isn't it? We're going to miss Lamella, aren't we?
Yeah. But we've been starved of some. You know, we saw what he could do against Palace. Yeah, I've got rickets. He was so good at Palace. You know, he got the winning goal. Yeah. He showed moments in the Europa League as well. He's excited plays. He does something no one else in our team, bar maybe Dembele, but in a very different way. And he commits players by running at them directly and making them shoot themselves.
He is direct.
And he likes a shot with both feet. Let's wait. I can't wait to see him. Shame that Lamela, because I felt him, Eriksen and Lamela as a trio could be so sexy.
Yeah.
Well, Chabby might be back by then as well, wouldn't he?
He's still sexy.
Well, he's got rid of the top knot, hasn't he, Chabby?
Good. I didn't like that.
The thing about Chadley that's funny is I've already forgotten about him, like I forgot about Bentaleb. And that's what's great. We're losing, these first team players keep getting injured and we just keep being like, well,
I barely
noticed. Whereas the Gooners are banging on about it in every single post-match interview. Yeah. And we've lost two guys who were instrumental to our success last season, or our relative success, and we have not noticed at all.
Well, who's been injured since the start of the season? Let's go.
Bentaleb played two games.
Bentaleb,
one start or Dembele, maybe two starts. Dembele, Mason, Chadley,
Chad Eriksen.
Rose has been in and out.
Eriksen was injured at the start.
Son.
Yeah. All tell you what.
I forgot about MG as well.
I don't think Son necessarily will replace Lamela, because Son usually plays on the left of the three, doesn't he?
Eriksen was on the right for a bit yesterday.
I suppose they swapped. I imagine Son will come in. I'm talking bollocks. But
guys, thank you very much for coming down. Good pod. Good chat.
Bang on.
Really nice for us to be able to talk about an Arsenal game. And let's face it, we were all shitting it before that game started, and for various different reasons. But we did ourselves proud, and we've got a team to be proud of, and it's let's do something with it. It'd be really nice to see it. Ollie, thanks for coming down,
thank
mate.
You
save
much,
match ball episode. Guys. Thank you very much. Take it, we'll all sign it later.
Some more vibes.
Yeah. Ollie's just signed a ball under his arm.
You can't see, but I just winked.
Yeah, so it's going really well. Jim, again, thanks for coming down, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Nice to see you. We'll get you two back on again once you've got Celebrity Get Me Out of Here out of the way. Dan, cheers for joining in at the
Cheers, mate.
Hope it all goes well with...
follow me on Twitter for more single life.
Can I just
with
ask?
With a Y, updates.
Like Ollie with a Y.
What messages did she read?
Don't want to go into it.
We do.
To be revealed on next week's podcast.
Like a Ross and Rachel saga. Right, cheers, guys. We'll see you next week. We're not really too sure what we're going to be doing for the international break, but one way or another, we will be here. We'll see you next week. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.